Welcome to the Dare to Multiply podcast. On this podcast, we help passionate Jesus followers become courageous, obedient disciples who impact their communities for the kingdom of God. I'm your host, Cynthia Anderson, a disciple multiplication coach and trainer. I'm going to show you how to make and multiply disciples in your area. God's got great things ahead for you. Let's dare to multiply. What is a person of peace? And how do you know if you have found one? We throw those terms around a lot as we talk about disciple multiplication. Maybe you've been hearing this term, person of peace, but you're not exactly sure what does it mean. We're going to be talking about that. I hope you'll get a lot of clarity on that so you know how to go find a person of peace in your community by the end of this podcast. So we'll be right back with that in just a minute.
Are you busy but not seeing the fruit you long for? Dissatisfied with your present level of impact on those around you? Or frustrated with traditional methods of discipleship that don't seem to be effective? If so, the Getting Started in Disciple Making Movements course may be just what you need. Inside the Getting Started program, you'll get access to a step-by-step proven approach to making and multiplying disciples. Not only will you receive 25 short and practical video teachings spread out over 6 modules, but you'll have a chance to connect with others for group coaching via our monthly Zoom calls. And even more importantly, you'll become part of a global community of like-minded people from all over the world who are passionately committed to following Jesus and impacting others around them. If you want to get unstuck and begin moving forward as a disciple who makes disciples, I encourage you to go to courses.dmmsfrontiermissions.com and sign up for this powerful program today. And now to today's episode.
All right. What is a person of peace? Sometimes people will say a POP, P-O-P, right? And I have to apologize. In the world of disciple multiplication, DMMs and CPMs, disciple making movements and church planning movements, we throw a lot of these acronyms around. So if you're new to this kind of world, you may feel a little bit lost when you hear trainers or different people talking about things like person of peace or even DMM and CPM and what those mean. So we want to make it clear to you. And on this next few podcasts, the Q&A, I'm going to be answering some of these questions about some of these key important terms that we really need clarity on in order to move forward. So the concept of a person of peace comes from Luke chapter 10, where Jesus sends out the 72, right? And this is what it says. Let me read from there. Verse 5. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Verse 7, stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move from house to house. And when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Verse 9 says, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. All right, so in Luke chapter 10, we see Jesus is taking a second step. In Luke chapter 9, he sent his own disciples out, the 12. They went out and he gave them similar instructions, but then we see that that team, that group is expanding, and now he's sending out 72 who are not just his inner circle of disciples, but we can assume those are people that maybe they are discipling, or that's a broader group of people in the circle that Jesus is influencing. So he sends the 72 out ahead of him and he tells them to go into a community. It's right after the harvest is plentiful passage that's there. He says, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the way. So stay focused on your mission. Go to the place I've sent you to. And then he talks about this person of peace. He says, when you enter a house, say, first say, peace be on it. And if someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. So that's where this term, a person of peace, comes from Luke chapter 10, where Jesus sent them out and told them to look for someone who would receive them. It says in this passage that they would stay with that person, that they weren't to move around from house to house, but when they find someone who receives them, that they should stay and focus on that person and be with that person. And that's where we come up with this term, person of peace. It's someone who, there's really three characteristics. They receive you. They offer you hospitality. Okay. They receive you. They receive your message, right? As you minister the kingdom to them, as you proclaim the kingdom of God, they receive it and they accept it. And they are willing also to call other people to come and listen to it. So these are the three key characteristics that I think we can get really a bit confused about with the person of peace concept. And when you find that kind of person, someone who's from the local community, if you're working in an unchurched area, there's somebody who is unchurched, they receive you, they receive what you're saying, and they also are willing to call others to join and listening to that message. They're willing to not just hear you alone, right? I was just talking to somebody today about someone they're discipling in a Muslim community, a Turkish man, and they said he's willing to do DBS with me alone, but he's not willing to call others to also listen. And he's busy with his work schedule and he's kind of a loner. And so he's not willing to call anyone else to join that DBS. And they were asking me, or Discovery Bible Study, which we talked about on one of the last episodes, right? What is a Discovery Bible Study? Well, he was doing this with just this one individual. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? We bless that. We pray this man will come to faith through that. But you won't see a movement if all you do is one-on-one discipleship. So you always want to be looking and watching for those people who are willing to call others to also listen. Others from what we call their oikos, from their family, friend, network, their circle of influence, the people that they know. And they're willing to say, yeah, I think that'd be great. I know my sister, or my brother, or my cousin, or my colleague at work, or this guy I go to the gym with, or I've got a boyfriend that I could invite, or however it is. You always want to be working with groups, and because the gospel spreads through these relational networks in a natural way, and that's how you see rapid multiplication of disciples. When we work only one-on-one with this person and that person and this person over there, and they don't know each other, and we try to bring them together in a group, that really, really slows down the process of trust building and disciple making that takes place. But when it spreads along natural relational ties that are there, we're able to see the gospel move forward really rapidly. So you want to look for those persons of peace who receive you. They receive what you have to say, and they also receive your message. Now, let me pause here just a moment to talk about hospitality. Because in the Middle East, which Jesus was, from the Middle East, in the Middle East, hospitality is a huge, huge thing, right? And it is in India, where we lived and served for many years as well. In fact, I heard one of my Hindu friends say, guests are gods, right? Which I certainly said, no, we are not gods, right? But they have this worldview that says that hospitality is a very, very high value. And a guest is someone that you should treat very, very well. So sometimes in those countries, and even in the Middle East, you might see someone receive you and offer you hospitality. But when you begin to talk about spiritual things and you begin to proclaim the kingdom of God, and they don't receive that. Okay, so it's not only someone who offers you hospitality, right? But it's also someone who's willing to receive your message. Now, they may not become a quote-unquote Christian right away, but they are interested in your message. They want to hear more. They like what you have to say. They like the Bible stories that you're sharing, right? And so they're receiving you, and they're receiving your message, and they're willing to call others to listen. Now, that's in the context of the East. In the context of the West, I have to say that hospitality has really, really changed in places like America and Canada. I think the Europeans still have a little more hospitality than we do, but you know, hospitality has changed a lot. And in our busy lives, you know, in fact, it's almost rare for someone to invite you over to their home. And if you happen to stop by randomly at their house, they rarely will invite you into the home to have a cup of coffee or to have a cup of tea, which is just standard practice in India, in South Asia, India, Nepal, Bangladesh, where we lived and worked for so many years. It's not standard practice in the United States. We've lost a lot of that culture of hospitality. It's a little bit more present in the South, I would say, but it's going away from our culture, which in my mind is a little bit of a sad thing. But what I'm trying to say is hospitality in that traditional sense that they invite you in or they offer you a meal is probably not going to happen in the West. So how do we express hospitality in Western culture? Somebody might pay for your meal, right? Or they might say, hey, let me grab your coffee if you're going out for coffee. That's another way that we extend hospitality. So I just want you to be free from to interpret this in a cultural context that you live in and not to think that it has to mean the same thing in America that it means in India. But they are going to be hospitable towards you. They're going to welcome you. You know, hey, come sit down, you know, or, you know, can I buy your coffee? You know, something like that. So you're going to see that kind of hospitality extended to you in some kind of culturally appropriate way in your context. And so that's important, right? So let me reiterate one more time these three things that I want you to remember. The first is they're going to receive you, offer you some kind of hospitality, as it talks about in Luke 10. And then they're going to receive your message. They're going to want to hear it, right? And they're going to be willing to call others to also listen to that message. When you see that happen, when you find that kind of person, that's the person you want to focus on, okay? We do lots of abundant seed sowing, sharing the gospel in lots of different contexts with different people. But we always, as disciple multipliers, want to keep our eyes open for those persons of peace, people who are doing that. They're receiving us, our message, and calling others to hear that message. When we find them, stop doing so much abundant sowing all kinds of different places. And in that location, at least, focus on that person, begin to work through them to reach those people who are in their oikos, in their relational network. Train them. You want them to be able to soon lead the Discovery Bible study that you start with them. You don't want to make, as an outsider to that community or to that oikos, you don't want to be the leader. You want them to become the leader and start to reach their own people, their own friends and family quickly. So I hope this has brought a little more clarity. If you still have questions, feel free to reach out to us by email or in a message or chat, and we'd be happy to answer a little bit more on that. God has a person of peace for you out there. He has prepared them. I believe that with all my heart. Sometimes it takes quite a bit of exploring and sowing seeds and having lots of spiritual conversations with different people until you find that person. But persevere. Keep looking for the person of peace, because when you find them, you're going to find the key to working in that community. Don't get bogged down with lots of other people that you're doing one-on-ones with who aren't willing to call others to listen, because that'll slow down actually the initial starting of the movement in that area. You know, you can work with them, but you know, keep looking, keep sowing until you find that person of peace who is really God's chosen people, chosen person through which you can work. And just one more quick thing, they don't have to be a man, okay? It could be a woman. The Samaritan woman is an example in the Bible of a person of peace. They could even be a child. You think of the story of Naaman the Syrian, you know, and how God used a child to reach into this this household of this key leader. So it could be anyone. Sometimes they're really, really unexpected who that person is, But God has someone that's already prepared. He's been working in their life. He's preparing the soil of their heart to receive the message that you will bring. And like Jesus said, he said he sent them out to prepare the way for his coming. And when we're going out, we're preparing the way, finding those people so the King of Kings can come into their lives, come into their community, and he can do his kingdom work in their lives and among them. So that's about it as to what a person of peace is. I'll be right back in just a minute with a quick wrap up and a couple of action steps for you.
Imagine a world where passionate followers of Jesus come together to multiply, transforming lives beyond imagination. Instead of toiling with little fruit, what if God's abundance flowed beyond your wildest dreams? Picture those you've invested in sharing Jesus freely, creating a ripple effect of disciple-making. In her new book, The Multiplier's Mindset, Cynthia Anderson reveals how shifting mindsets can revolutionize disciple-making. When Cynthia and her colleagues experienced these mindset shifts, they saw enormous results, including the launching of 19 multiplying movements in Africa and Asia, transforming tens of thousands of lives. This book will help you discover hidden harvesters, see church members move from passivity to passion, and release the power of simplicity in multiplying disciples. Don't remain stuck. Learn to move toward greater fruitfulness. Visit multipliersmindset.com and get your copy of The Multipliers Mindset today.
All right, here is your action step. I want you to evaluate whether or not you have found a person of peace so far, right? Think about the people that God has given you that you're investing in, discipling. Are they people who are willing to call others to listen? Are they people who have received you and received your message? Do they have those three primary characteristics or not, right? And if you find that you haven't yet found that kind of person through whom you can really work, who's an insider to that lost community, then I want to encourage you to look at ways that you can minimize the amount of time you're investing in those other people and keep looking for the person of peace and keep praying that God will reveal the person of peace in your community. We're starting a new work here in Thailand, and we have been doing evangelism and outreach. We've been doing prayer walks. And I have to say, we haven't yet found what we would call a person of peace. So we are continuing to emphasize that abundant seed sowing, investing in spiritual conversations until we find them. When we find them, we're going to work through them. So think about it this week. Think about who you're discipling, the people that you're engaging with. And if they're not the person of peace, an insider from the community who's received you, your message, and are calling others to listen, then I want you to think and pray about how can we keep looking for that person of peace and praying that God will reveal them, because it's super, super key to releasing and unlocking the multiplication of disciples among the unreached in your area. God bless you guys. We'll see you in the next episode. That's all we've got for this episode of the Dare to Multiply podcast. One thing that would really help both us and other new potential listeners is for you to rate this show and leave a comment in iTunes, on Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you tune in to listen. Also, make sure to link up with us at dmmsfrontiermissions.com/blog. On social media, and please just share this podcast with anyone you think might enjoy it. Until next time, remember, God's dreams for us are always bigger than we can imagine.